This week on Potlatch, a program on development of the Arctic Slope Native Association by three of its representatives. That was the St. Lawrence Island Dancers. The following program was produced back in 1972 by Roger and Karen McPherson. It features the talent of Joe Upixson, Fred Paul, and Larry Dineen.
At a recent meeting of governmental agencies with interests in and plans for Barrow, Alaska's largest Eskimo community, the Arctic Slope Native Association presented a report on its activities and progress toward self-government. Joe Upixson, president of Arctic Slope Native Association, Fred Paul, ASNA lawyer, and Larry Dineen, special assistant to ASNA, spoke on the North Slope Borough, the Inupiat Community Corporation, and the need for housing, sanitation, facilities. Here is Joe Upixson.
There is going to be many more pleasant years coming up. This is a fine year, I think. The land has yielded. The ocean has yielded, and the rivers have yielded. This is going to be the beginning of our own people becoming very proud of their own heritage. I had planned on having the Arctic Slope Native Association presentation broken down into three speakers. I wanted to give the initial presentation so that we can clear the air a little bit. There's one reason why I think I should, and that is because I have my heroes. They are the ones that I learned from. In the areas of education, I'm very sorry that we do not have any books on Indian literature that would follow the same lines as D. Brown had written in Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee. In reading that book, I have picked my heroes. We start off with Chief Sitting Bull, Chief Red Cloud, Chief Crazy Horse, Chief Joseph, and I will quote Chief Joseph when he was pleading, he says, I am tired of good words that amount to nothing.
Arctic Slope Native Association lawyer Fred Paul.
We have the Inupiat community of the North Slope, an IRA corporation. We define the Inupiat community of the North Slope as a federally recognized tribal government. It has certain utilities. For example, it has tax exemption in all fields, local, state, and federal. And we utilize this in our application for foundation grants. We have some pending, none have been authorized yet, but pending. It is region-wide. It comprehends the same boundaries as our borough. In other words, everything north of the 68th parallel, except for a little jog in the Athabascan country to exclude the Arctic Village from the Inupiat country, the Arctic Village being Athabascan. The federal government requires regional planning. For example, in the states, the counties are artificially created. Some white man's idea of what is a good area, but usually without any relationship to geography or river valleys or mountain ranges. So modernly, in dealing with the federal government, you have two and three and four county regions. If a city or a county within a natural cohesive unit wants to get some federal grant of some variety or some federal program, the federal government requires that there be regional concepts employed. Regional planning. The Inupiat community of the North Slope satisfies this regional concept. I may say that for 30 years or so, there was never in Alaska has an IRA corporation been organized on a regional basis until this was organized, less than it was authorized by the Secretary of the Interior. Last June 28th, and in our judgment is one of the magnificent vehicles that are available to the Native people of Alaska. I understand that there's another one organized in the Kenai Peninsula, George Miller's group. I foresee in the future some magnificent things coming out of the IRA Corporation. We are in the process of organizing the borough, the North Slope Borough. This again comprehends all of the North Slope. We're in litigation in that, we are very confident of it, that the litigation will be ended in time and successfully. We the Arctic Slope, are very, very disturbed at the oil companies trying to prevent the creation of the borough. We do not think it is healthy politically for the oil companies to, in a sense, assault the Eskimos. You see, there are no schools up here. There's no junior high school at four of the villages and no senior high school at all. And the Eskimos are sick and tired of demonstrating their love for their children by sending them 1,000 miles away. And for the oil companies to challenge the creation of the borough, it's like the oil companies challenging motherhood, because they are assaulting the Eskimos' love for their children. And we are deeply disturbed at this development, but so be it. We have to live with it. Now, the borough election is set for June 20th, and we expect the election to go forward, though we have a court hearing on June 12th, which may change things. But we expect the election to go forward and that the lieutenant governor will certify that the borough is, in fact, in existence. And once that is in existence, notwithstanding the litigation that is pending, it is our view, our Slope's view, that the borough is capable of functioning, capable of applying for federal grants and federal programs, and becoming a viable unit. You know, it's rather exciting. We have the power to tax. We will have the power to tax. And Pete Marwick and Mitchell have certified in an independent study that the tax base available to the North Slope is over $300 million. So with a millage rate of 3 or 4, there will be very substantial monies to engage in capital program for the building of schools and the other municipal facilities that are so desperately needed up here. And 3 or 4 mills for companies who pay no property tax at all today. You know, it's almost stupid in its smallness.
Following Mr. Paul, Larry Dineen, Special Assistant to Arctic Slope Native Association, outlined the needs of the community of Barrow.
May I first preface my remarks by saying you are indeed involved in a very exciting experience as you move forward with what you are dealing with in this area here. These people, the Inupiats, want to maintain their cultural heritage, the best parts of it, and they are ready and willing and able to enter the Western economic aspects of life. They're very realistic about all the aspects that entails, and they are ready and willing and really working hard to do such. But to show you the seriousness with which they are tackling this job, the president has given up his normal work, his normal livelihood, many months ago, is on no income, and is devoting his full time and talents to this effort. As you know, most of the effort has been in the Washington, D.C. level. It is now turned to the North Slope, the Arctic Slope area. He'll continue in that, and his people will support him with subsistence because they realize what he's doing in order that he can carry on his duties as president. Oliver Levitt, the treasurer of the organization, is a very talented electrician. Could be earning many thousand dollars a year as an electrician because they're in very short supply in Alaska and especially in this region. He has decided to give up his job, and again, on a volunteer basis, devote full time to the budget and finance of this corporation and the many other duties that are concerned. That's the seriousness with which they are giving to this whole aspect of the juncture in their lives, in their giant and great history. So what they are interested in now is what they have to do. They have a very difficult regional corporate setup to make. They not only have to comply with the state corporation laws, but they also have to comply with the complexities that were written into the Regional Corporation Act in the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, many of which normal corporate structure in the United States doesn't have to deal with such a complex structure. They are setting up goals and objectives which Bob and many of you others who are in planning, you're constantly striving to have your people get with and get to and really make some major overall decisions and policy matters. Budget and finance, they have a committee on that. They have to deal with the corporate structure, the village structure, stock, distribution of dividends, lands, and the whole ballpark. It's going to be very difficult. You're going to find that they are going to be also, though, very diligent, very prudent, very selective in their advice. They do have top advice now, and they're going to continue that way. So you'll find them very reasonable, very just, very prudent to deal with, but also very tough. They're not going to sell their heritage for any price. They're going to maintain their culture at best, and they are going to enter the Western economic structure. They have a committee on the borough government. If you have followed the lawsuit, you'll have noticed they have been successful, despite clamor on the other side of the fence that they didn't know what they were doing or where they were going or how they were proceeding. They have been very successful there. That is how they do their homework. We like very much the efforts of the EDA and the various federal agencies and the state agencies and the private structure of our country in the economic development aspects. Barrow has somewhat a higher employment rate than the rest of the villages. Some of the villages may have only 5 people on a normal salary structure. That's the type of culture and society that you're dealing with when you're dealing here. They can get along with very little. They will if they have to, but they're willing to enter the structure. So they're looking to economic development activities. They're looking to mining, minerals, oil, gas. They're going to be looking to their own very small business structures. In housing, we're going to see that there are native housing corporations, there are construction corporations, there are repair corporations, and the like. And we'll need help there. We need help in the big things as well as the small. The mayor of Barrow happens to also be an executive director of the Arctic Slope Native Association, and he heads the land selection and use team. They've already applied for a large grant so that they can get on board with them the best intelligence possible in land selection, including subsistence, including conservation, and they are great conservationists. If you live in the village here, you'll understand why. If you use a lot of water, you got to get rid of a lot of water, and you also got to find a lot of water. So when shaving and cleaning and a lot of other things, I found it's been a very interesting experience. I find why they are natural conservationists. It's just the way you have to live. And that follows through in their love of the land, their respect for the land, their respect for conservation, ecology, and environment, I believe is much deeper and much more natural than ours. I think the rest of the country is finding out what they have known for years and years and have had to deal with and survive. So they're going to get the best geologists, the best maps, the best aerial photo coverage. They're not going to buy it. They're going to find what's available. They'll add to it what they have to. They don't have the budget to do that. But there is a major area that they'll need cooperation and help. But they'll use it intelligently. They're not going to just choose natural resources for economic gain. They are going to choose for what their culture and their life has given to them in the past, and they want to continue. Education has been one of the major, major areas of deficiency and concern. And yet with this, as the borough takes over the education, they are going to be prudent, as the words of President Joe have expressed in many meetings so far, very prudent. They don't see a takeover as of June 20th. They see the school board that's elected dealing with the advisory board and the BIA at the present time, maybe for a full year, just getting acquainted with the problems. Maybe the second year they'll get down to a little more serious budget and finance and operational problems. They're concerned about the teachers and what is their individual need? What is their individual pension? What is their individual civil service rating? How will they transfer? These things will all be considered before the changeover takes place. They can see a 2 to 3 year period of time that this will involve. They also see some very strong input that they want to make in order that they can have their own children in their own area going to school rather than thousands of miles away. But they're going to do it with prudence. They're going to do it, and they have these people serving on these committees that are seriously considering all these problems. In Barrow, the reason I think, and President Joe would say, it's going to be the corporate structure of Barrow and the village of Barrow that's going to have to take the problems of Barrow and handle them. We'll give all the help and advice, but it's to the village structure for them to start and to initiate, and us to help in every way and fashion that we can. But in Barrow and from the Arctic Slope, you're going to get such questions as, we want housing. We have very difficult times transferring intelligence, knowledge, information to people in Seattle, to people in Washington, D.C., about what housing we're talking about. It's really not all that difficult. But the technical terms and the terms that are written in the laws and in the dictums of the different agencies make it very difficult sometimes to deal in a very slow process. But we have decided, rather than building 100 homes under the Alaska State Housing Authority and contract with the Arctic Slope Native Association, which will hopefully become a regional housing authority in the near future, rather than going headlong into building 100 homes, which we strongly desired this year and which many people were promised, we found we have a gravel problem. There's 700,000 cubic feet of gravel needed that we have so far been able to identify before we can move ahead. About 100,000 cubic yards for a road to a dam. About 160,000 cubic yards for the increase of the dam itself. About 50,000 cubic yards for track day. About 80,000 cubic yards for, 80,000 cubic yards for track day, 50,000 cubic yards for Barrow, 50,000 cubic yards for Browerville, wherever the three sites for homes. It's very critical that certain programs get assigned, certain forced accounts get done, whatever is necessary to move the gravel at the time it can be moved, stockpiled and get moving. But we intend to have 114 homes built next year. We don't intend to have the problems that you've experienced in other areas as far as the state. We are cognizant of those. The reason the housing program was put off is so that we don't have another Bethel Heights problem or something of that nature. But we want the gravel moved this year, this spring. It is being moved. We want it then distributed. We want to operate and cooperate with all the agencies' problems as they see them. We also want the water and sewer so that all these things dovetail. All these things have been considered and deeply considered by the board and by the different committees, so they're cognizant of them. So in housing, that's a major goal. Housing for Barrow, housing phase two for Anaktuvik Pass. You're all going to Point Hope on the relocation problem, I understand. We're cognizant of that. We do are moving full speed ahead with the land selection and have gone for the grant and are working in that area. Barrow itself needs that airport complex. This is Clyde Courtney, who's been doing a tremendous job on this. And the airport complex, such questions will be asked of you, I'm sure. Why are there two airports for a city of 2,100 people when land is so scarce, when the ability to build land is so scarce? There may be reasons, but they want to know the answers. The airport complex is a subject of election also around June 20th. It's a $3.6 million facility. 70% of the money will come from the federal government. That's understood. The rest of it has to be a revenue bond issue, which the city of Barrow, the village of Barrow, must vote upon whether they will accept the revenue bond responsibility, but going along at the same issue, you're hitting right into one of the great social issues of that of life here. Because on the same election, the same ballot will be, do you want to be wet or dry? Complex, the way the financial council has come up with it, they must have a nice restaurant in it to help pay its way, because it includes a hotel of 42 rooms, office buildings, and a restaurant, a cocktail bar, and the rest of the office space and structure. This is a very serious, deep issue that the people are facing. They had a very serious meeting, and they have general meetings of the city quite often to tackle these issues. Gravel's first, then comes water and sewer because of an aspect of it, then comes the housing because of aspect of it, comes the roads because of an aspect of it. So they understand that. They'll very quickly enter the economic development picture because they understand that the investment of the money that they receive ultimately will depend on what they want to do for their long time ahead from here on out. They'll want to deal with the housing problems, the housing needs, the housing area of the different governmental agencies. They'll want to integrate that with the village and the villages themselves. They do want to avoid ghettoizing teachers, FAA, Weather Bureau, and the rest. They want to integrate that so that it not only integrates with a good plan of the city, but so it can be integrated with the road plan, with the water and sewer plan as it comes down the pike. They also, and have been asked, begged by the teachers, don't ghettoize this anymore. I think it was Jim Hughes who said, I live with them all night long. I work with them all day long. I hardly see anybody else when you put them all in one complex. And they miss being with the people that they're trying to serve. So in the social planning, they have also applied for a grant so that they'll have the training for the planners that will hopefully then enter their own governmental structure. And these are the things that they're going for. And they're going to ask the Small Business Administration for one of their first corporate structures for a repair shop here. So they'll ask for help there. But you can see how they're going to ask why you need a generator put in to the city of Barrow for the production of electric power when there's four turbines within 2-3 miles of us. And the capacity of those four turbines could take care of the area. They're going to ask, why can't there be a delta system like you have in any other area of the country, so that you have a loop feed system in case of a failure of any one of part of the system? The loss of electricity would be very critical here on a 50-degree below day. They're going to ask why you can't have a loop feed system on the gas system when you have the gas going from the well to the base, and then a gas line going from the well to the city, and then a gas line being dovetailed into it, connected to that for the incinerator. Why can't that be loop fed into the city so that you have a loop system again? This is where intergovernmental agency cooperation will again be involved. They'll ask those questions, and they'll want reasonable answers. Those are the things that they are looking to. They are a very responsible, and the future is going to be very exciting, and I think we'll all enjoy the work with them.
This is Mo Wasley, and thank you for listening.
Potlatch is produced by KUAC under Title I of the Higher Education Act.